And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a Thursday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. I have missed being on the podcast all week. Thank you to Dr. Brett McCabe on Monday, Beating the Bookie on Tuesday, and Froggy Wednesdays are back with Johnny Pack, who is in the field here at the American Express Championship as Froggy gets back in the saddle on Wednesdays, bringing you the best players in the world. And as many of you know, I am out here in Palm Springs right now. The American Express Championship played right here at PGA West. Couple days here on the grounds on assignment with the PGA Tour. Really cool show called The Cut. It's on Tuesday night on Golf Channel. You should check it out if you haven't. I think a cool modern show bringing you the best players in the world and getting to know them and getting to know them as far as how they train, what they're working on, and how they transfer to the golf course. So I was out here on assignment, spent some time with Kramer Hickok, Justin Lauer, Danny Lee, Doug Gim, and we did some X's and O's, folks. We went hardcore on the range, what they're working on, how they work on it. We went out to the golf course, some really cool stuff coming, things that we've been doing right here on the Stripe Show podcast, things we've been doing on my platforms at Travis Fulton Golf, but we just elevated a whole nother level with the PGA Tour. And we did it face-to-face inside the ropes with four of the best players in the world. It's called The Cut, Tuesday night on Golf Channel. Don't miss it. I can't give too much away, so you're going to have to watch the show. So in addition to the show, I got to spend a lot of time on the driving range and, you know, mixing it up here with the players and the coaches and just really kind of standing back and watching too. You know, and just observing the best players in the world. I love standing there on the range and just watching these players go about their craft. I love going over to the practice area or the short game practice area and watching them work on their short game shots, watching them go through their drills on the putting green and just observe. And as I did that for the better part of 2 days, I started just kind of taking notes on things that kind of jumped out to me, became very apparent to me. And as I was taking these notes, there were reoccurring themes, reoccurring things that I would see with my own eyes or hear with my own ears. And I want to share some of those things as some of the key takeaways from being here at the American Express Championship over the last couple of days. The first is, and this doesn't come to a surprise to anyone listening, and that is just the emphasis and the importance of distance in this era of golf. I mean, we are in the distance era. We talk about it all the time here on the podcast, but to be inside the ropes and listening to the players talk, the caddies, the coaches, how do we stretch this out another 3, 4, 5 miles per hour with ball speed? There was a guy on the range that is playing this week at the American Express Championship. And it's a name that you perhaps you haven't heard. He's from South Africa. His name is James Hart Dupria. 6'10", South African, plays the mini tours. Led the mini tour last year with a driving distance of, I believe, 373 yards on average. 373 yards. And here's this guy standing on the driving range. And it's not hard to pick him out. He's 6'10", and he's built like a shit brick house. And I went down there on Tuesday night and I just sat there and I watched him hit his driver. And there were some other players kind of gathering and watching. And he's hitting his driver. And I'm standing there and we're looking at the numbers and he's cruising at about 208, 209 ball speed. Cruising. Doesn't even look like he's really working that hard. Just smooth, effortless. Look down, 365 carry. And it just dawns on me that as I watch this guy, that this is where the athlete is going in professional golf. We've seen the athlete get bigger, right? We've seen the golfer get taller. We've seen the golfer get stronger, more athletic. We see guys now 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". This dude is 6'10", and he's built. I'm 6'4", and my neck was sore looking up at him. Sweetheart of a guy, bombing it. And I mean bombing it with his driver. He can let it out and get it over 400 yards. Such impressive stuff. He'll be joining us on the Stripe Show podcast next week. Cannot wait for you to meet James Hart DePria. But distance is in every conversation out there. How do we get longer? Danny Lee, over the last 5 years, has gotten stronger. He looks more fit. He's changed his technique to get more loaded into his right side, lift the left heel up, elongate more. All the things that we're talking about, and it was cool to hear it from so many different players, right? And how they're working to get longer. I saw the Humpty Dumpty drill so many times. We've talked about this here on the podcast for over a year, this kind of wooden out with your legs and you're kind of shuffling back and forth, momentum from your front foot to your back foot. And then when the weight hits your back foot, you just load up, let the left heel come up, let yourself elongate up, and then just rip it. The long drive competition has helped technique and distance so much. And I've said that before, but it really is the case. And when you're out there and you're watching these best players who have the highest of skill, it really becomes evident that these long drive techniques and how they're being implemented on the PGA Tour, trying to push through that internal governor, try to really train more speed on the range, and then how much of that can you transfer? How much of that are you comfortable with to transfer to the golf course under the gun? So distance and what guys are doing with their body, technique. There's guys changing shafts to get another 3-4 miles per hour of ball speed. And the significance of that, I heard a couple of players talk, look, it's the fastest way to lower your score, just more distance. And they're really just, at all costs, what can we do? Not all costs, I shouldn't say that. But at what cost? At what cost are they willing to get more distance, more ball speed? The second thing is that really jumped out to me. The second thing that jumped out to me is the launch monitor. Now, I'm not surprised that every PGA Tour player shows up with their own launch monitor. But what I was surprised by is how many times they looked at the launch monitor after a shot on the range. I mean, I'm talking there were a lot of players that I think looked after every shot at the launch monitor. How far did the ball carry, right? What was the carry distance of that wedge, of that 7-iron? I'm sure they're looking at launch and spin a little bit with the driver, but just the, you know, the, but how can I say this? Just the impact of the launch monitor, and not only they all own one, but how many times they look at it after every single shot. Guys that kind of strike me maybe not as the, you know, the real technical type, like a Tony Finau. I mean, he was looking at that launch monitor a lot. I mean, a lot. Hit a shot, look at it. Hit a shot, look at it. You could see guys playing games with the launch monitor, like trying to hit a number, right? Really dialed in on distance control, because we know distance control, strokes gain approach, iron play, it's the number one statistic. So this launch monitor and how carry and distance can be different from week to week, right? These guys are playing all over the country. Their body feels different each day. And just kind of seeing what those numbers are. But you go back to old school way of golf, and I know there's so many of you probably listening right now thinking, well, that's not the way they used to do it. They would watch the golf ball, right? They would hit a shot and they would watch the golf ball and their yardage would be out there. And that was it. Now they hit a shot, they may glance at the ball, but they're looking down at that launch monitor quickly. And I mean a lot. So it just kind of hit me a little bit just how reliant, I should say, perhaps, the guys are becoming on that launch monitor. And of course, we're seeing that launch monitor taken to the golf course a lot. You know, Finau, so impressive to watch up close hitting his driver. I just want to go up to him and be like, dude, just let this out. I mean, just let this one out. Swing the club past parallel and let's go play golf that way. I just know Finau could probably be longer than Bryson if he wanted to be. And I mean, Bryson has taken distance to a whole other level. But this dude, James Hart Du Dupree, I mean, he's 30 past Bryson. I mean, he is 30 past Bryson. Luke List was on the end of the range. Jamie Mulligan, his coach, fan of the Stripe Show podcast, has been on a couple times. You know, Luke List has such a nice golf swing. I mean, just a pretty swing. He's long. I like watching Luke List swing the golf club, and he can get it out there. You know, it's funny, like you all these guys so deep, they're so good, and they're the best of the best, right, to be on the PGA Tour. But then when you're on the PGA Tour and then you take this collection of guys, then there's like, okay, now there's another level that's even more impressive, right? Like, you know, Kramer Hickok is good, right? Almost one of the Travelers, you know, he's good. But you watch Hickok hit the driver, he's 286 off the tee. And then like four or five spots down, you're like, okay, what is that missile like I'm seeing in my peripheral vision? Oh, that's Luke List. He's 23 yards past him. So it's this whole distance and how it improves the player. You match that up with strokes gain approach and this distance control and how I think reliant they're becoming on that launch monitor and really dialing things in. It is, the guesswork is out. I mean, there is no guesswork. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly how far it's going. And then it's about taking that out to the golf course. The other thing that really stood out to me was how players, a lot of them, were drawing their irons and fading their driver. Right. Just as you just kind of observe, and, you know, they would draw their irons just a little bit, but then you would see them hit their driver and then you would see the ball kind of curve the other way. Now, you know, a lot of guys are drawing everything. A lot of guys are fading everything. But I saw a large collection of players. You could see the slight right to left with the irons and then the definite fade with the driver. You know, catching up with Doug Gim, I can't wait for you to see some of the stuff that we did on the golf course. Doug works with Drew Steckel, who's been on the podcast a couple times. And, you know, watching Doug, just kind of that ball wanting to kind of just die left with his irons, but then this definite fade off the tee. He's worked really hard on trying to kind of move the ball a little bit more left to right off the tee. You could see it with Kramer Hickok. It was that way. Justin Lowry, even to some degree, the driver was a little bit more fade biased. So kind of a lot of that showing up. And what's interesting, when you look at this, with the irons, they're aiming at their target and the ball starting a little right and then drawing back to the left. With the driver, they're aiming left of their target and then fading it in, okay? And they're just kind of letting the ball peel back towards the target. So now a lot of that has to do with the attack angle, okay? And the attack angle in its impact or influence, I should say, on the path. Here's what you have to understand about this, and I'm going to try to really peel this down for you. Attack angle, when you hit down on it, which is what you do with an iron, right? And let's say like a 7-iron, like you're going to hit down, you know, I would say Kramer, for example, was hitting down, let's say 4 degrees, Okay. Every degree you hit down on it, it's going to affect the path slightly to the right. Okay. Now with a 7-iron, it's not a perfect 1-to-1 ratio. Let's just keep it easy math. And let's just say every degree you hit down with a 7-iron, it's going to affect your path 0.75 to the right. So you hit 1 degree down, 0.75 affected to the right with your path. You hit 2 degrees down, that's 1.5 to the right with your path. So you take that up to 4, that's 3 degrees to the right with your path, right? That's what's built in. I hit 4 degrees down, it affects my path 3 degrees to the right. Now, if that player hits 4 degrees down and they just basically, let's just say, keep their swing direction pretty much down the line, that ball is going to start to the right and draw back to the left, depending upon how much that face is looking to the right. But just keeping it simple, that attack angle is moving the path to the right, which naturally is going to build in for these players a little bit of a draw bias with their irons. Now, what they do to combat the amount of draw is they'll take their swing direction, kind of the exit per se of the swing, slightly to the left. Okay, so they'll kind of let the swing direction exit left. So if I take my swing direction and I exit 1 degree to the left, that's going to chip away at that attack angle, right? So if I've got 3 degrees of path going to the right and I swing 1 to the left, now effectively my path is only 2 degrees to the right. If I take my swing direction and I really swing hard to the left and it's 3 degrees to the left with my attack angle at 4, now I have zeroed out that path and that ball would go dead straight. And that's kind of what you see like a Tony Finau do. Tony Finau really turns the quarter very nice through the impact zone. Tony Finau is really hitting it very straight off of the tee. And that's because his swing direction, his exit is really working back to the left. And he's just hitting these bullets, hitting down on it with a left exit, neutralizes the path. So many of these guys, they won't swing left enough to neutralize that path. So they'll leave a little bit of that path going out to the right. And that's where that little push draw comes from. Hopefully that wasn't too complicated, but that's really how this works. When you start looking at, okay, he's drawing his irons, but then he fades his driver. So you go to the driver, right? And they're gonna aim a little bit to the left and they're not gonna swing probably as much to the left with the driver because it's a much longer club, but they're gonna hit up on it. So when you hit down on it, that affects the path to the right. When you hit up on it, that affects the path to the left. And of course, with the path working to the left, that's gonna help facilitate more of that fade. So Kramer, so many others, they would aim a little left, they would swing up 1 or 2 degrees, and then there's that little peel back to the right. And that's kind of how a lot of these guys play golf, right? Now, you'll see some hit up on it, but then have to take their alignment more to the right and their swing direction more to the right if they want to hit a draw, like a Rory McIlroy, okay? Like a Bryson DeChambeau. So you have to kind of manage the attack angle, alignment, swing direction to hit the kind of shot that you want to hit. But a very common pattern from the wedge to the driver is just as I described, draw it slightly with your irons, aiming square, attack angle down on it, right? We know that, that's what we want with an iron. But with the driver, aim more to the left, hit up on it a little bit, and now all of a sudden, there's your baby fade. And of course, all of these techniques, whether you want to draw it or you want to fade it, and that's what you want to build into your golf swing, well, I've got it all coming out. Brand new website, my new training programs will be on my new website next week. Can't wait for that. Operation Baby Draw, Operation Drip Fade, it's all right there. It's all based off of all of these things that we're talking about. Attack angle, swing direction. What's the easiest way for me to draw it? What's the easiest way for me to fade it? Through the bag. Got my new total driving program and strokes gain Around the Green, plus a new training program that will be coming out in the beginning of February, which will be the approach game, 150 yards on in, which I assure you, these guys out here are working on that approach game. And when they hit that shot, they look at that launch monitor quickly to see how far the ball went. All right, let's finish up. Finish out the podcast here. Appreciate you being with me on a Thursday. I want to say congratulations to Akshay Bhatia, 19 years of age, won on the Korn Ferry Tour on Wednesday as the Korn Ferry Tour kicks off here in 2022. It's the Bahamas Great Exuma Classic at Sandals Emerald Bay. Akshay Bhatia, you know, it's funny. He turned professional as a teenager, didn't go to college, big, strong lefty. Bombs it off the tee, obviously a terrific young talent. And, you know, he took a lot of heat for that. As he has went through his career, there's been some ups and downs for sure with Akshay. And he's on the Korn Ferry Tour, which is probably the right spot for him right now. But he meets this girl through Instagram. They DM each other. They get together. I think it's his new girlfriend. He decides to put her on the back. She's going to caddy. This girl doesn't play golf. She knows nothing about golf. And she caddies for Akshay, 19 years of age, on the Korn Ferry Tour, and he wins the tournament. How about that? He wins the tournament. Are things different in today's game, or are things different? You know, in Akshay, 19 years of age, I think he's only the third teenager to win a professional event. Jason Day, I believe, is one. And then I think Sungjae Im is the other. Both of those guys are in the field this week. Got to see them hit the ball. Jason Day looks really good. Good shape. Love what he's doing in his swing. Sungjae is an absolute machine. But those two won as a teenager, and now Akshay joins him. And as I look at this, and it's, you know, what an accomplishment, right? 19 years of age. Can you imagine all this talent, yet pressure to go out and make things happen? And in today's game, you know, you're going to be critiqued and you're going to be criticized. And I got to be honest with you. Like, when I first saw the story that Akshay was going to have this girl caddy, I was like, really? I mean, are we really doing what you need to be doing to be successful in professional golf, given everything that we've talked about here on the podcast and how deep the pool is? And apparently the answer is yes. And I got to tell you, as I finish up the podcast, I was wrong about this. And I didn't share those thoughts in social media, but I thought it to myself. I thought it was like, really? Is that what we want to be doing? Is this team really excited about this girl coming on the bag, knows nothing about the game of golf, and he goes out and he wins the golf tournament on the Korn Ferry Tour? I mean, it's just, it's amazing. And it's just a reminder, I think, to myself and to everyone, that the most important thing in professional golf is to get the player in a mindset that they can just go out and be instinctive, that they can just go out and be comfortable and play fearless golf. Go out and let the genius come out, the instincts come out, right? And apparently that's exactly what happened with Akshay. He went out, he was comfortable, maybe the expectation level came down a little bit, he was happy, and he just went out and he free-willed it and he got a win. And at the end of the day, you can't question that. The kid played outstanding down in the Bahamas. So congratulations, Akshay Bhatia. Even though I didn't share that in social media, I was wrong. And it allowed, you know, it's one of those moments where you got to take a step back and you got to realize, man, there's a lot of ways to go about this. These guys are, they got a lot of pressure on them. It's lonely out there. And at the end of the day, if you can go out and play instinctive and fearless golf and let the genius come out, whatever you need to do to make that happen within the law, that's what needs to happen. All right, that's enough. Stripe Show Podcasts on a Thursday. Hope you enjoyed it. What a week here in Palm Springs. We've got some great stuff coming at you with the podcast. I mentioned James Hart, dude, DePria. Long drive, dude. Check him out here in the American Express. I actually did a full breakdown for the PGA Tour channels. That'll be launching and a whole lot more next week and into February. I'll be moving into my studio. We have big plans, big announcements coming. Stay with us. Thank you for being here. I know it's winter in much of the country, but I tell you what, we've got some really cool stuff coming at you. So we appreciate you being here. You'll be out playing golf soon enough in weather that I just got to experience here in Palm Springs. All right, we'll talk to you soon next week, Stripe Show Podcast.